old man than that one, brother.
Yeah. That better you than me, brother. I need to break.
Praise God indeed. Let's get ready for church. Excited about what the Lord has in store for us. I tell you, He has really been ministering and just opened up His heart. So I'm just going to ask each and every one of you, if you can, just stand this evening. Anyone on my right side have a spoken prayer request tonight? Sister Brenda? Most definitely will. Most definitely will. Anyone else on my right side with a spoken prayer request tonight? Praise God. Anyone on the left side this evening have a spoken prayer request? All righty. Well, praise the Lord.
Sister Autumn Gaddis.
Yes.
Also, let's remember Brother Chris.
Yes. Absolutely want to keep
and
them.
And our traveling folks.
And our traveling folks. That's right. We got a group of them that's on the road. Just the Lord keep touch and all that are going through procedures and all the other situations, some even waiting before they could even get in to see a doctor right now. But there are a lot of situations. If you have an unspoken prayer request, just show by raising your hand. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to praise your name. Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us to gather in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, as we come together tonight, dear Lord, we ask that you just allow your Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to have a free ring amongst each and every one of us, dear Lord. Lord, those that are present here and those that are watching online, dear Lord, we just ask that you'll just let your Spirit flow as your Word goes forth, dear Lord, that it'll just prick our heart. Lord, that it'll minister to each and every one of us, dear Lord. Dear Lord, there's so many situations, dear Lord. You see the hands that were raised. Lord, you know those special prayer requests, dear Lord, those that are going through situations right now, dear Lord. And there are those that just need comforting and protection And, Lord, we're lifting them all up to you, dear Lord. We just want to praise you and thank you for your many blessings. Lord, we also want to lift up our community, our state, and our country, dear Lord, that it'll be turned to you, dear Lord, and we'll seek you first, dear Lord. And we just give you all the honor and glory. We ask now that you'll bless our pastor. Lord, thank you for all the testimonies of praise, dear Lord, as we're able to stand here as witnesses to the mighty things that you've done. But, dear Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God, praise God. It's Wednesday night, and this is one of my favorite Wednesday night songs. We're going to do Redeemed. Page 277. Most of y'all know it by heart, I'm sure. Offering. Just want to remind everybody this Sunday is Mother's Day. Always look forward to celebrating Mother's Day, and all of you are invited. Invite somebody to church Sunday morning and also to Sunday school. It'd be nice to have it. Thank you, Brother Jim. If you'd ask the Lord to bless our offering, good to have you back in town. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Y'all probably think, oh, Lord, he has called on her again, and it's going to be that same song. And you know what? You're right. It's going to be the same one. After we get a phone call.
Sorry about that.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Amen. Praise
God is good and greatly to be praised for
Amen.
Sure. I've been reading in the book of 1st and 2nd John, and I don't know about nobody else, but I think we all love to be loved and wanted and needed, and that's what the book, the 1st and 2nd book of John that I've been reading, is talking about God's love and how we're supposed to love. You know, sometimes I think, you know, we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves, you know, and we're all neighbors. And sometimes I just don't feel that. But you know what? I'm learning. I probably already should know, but I'm learning that you got to forgive no matter what, and you got to love. And I say that maybe I don't feel that way, Sister Junia, but I do. I love people in my heart. I might not like what their flesh does or something. I'm sure everybody don't love everything my flesh does. But as far as loving, I think that once we come to God and we're baptized in Him, baptized in that Holy Ghost, we might get offended, we may get hurt, but that love's still there. You know, if somebody does something to you but they turn right around and call you, you'd be there. Why? Because I believe that God love is there. And that's what it's going to take. We got to have that God love. He said, if we don't have that, we're none of His. And I hate it when he says stuff like that, because then I think, oh, Lord, who have I got to love now, you know? But I do love the Lord, and I love His Word. My life's made up of choices that I made. It's up to me which path I'm gonna take. We've only got one life to get it right. But even though I make mistakes, I'm perfect in His sight. When I delude, that's when He loves me most. Each time I drifted far away, He's always held out hope. And when I turn my back on Him, He's always held out hope. When I deserve the least, that's when He loves me most. When I have temptation stare me in the face, I should have turned my head and looked away. I went stumbling down that road a time or two. But each time I came limping back, You let me lean on You. When I deserve the least, that's when He loves me most. Each time I drifted far away, He's always led me home. And when held out hope, when I deserve the least, that's when He loves me most.
You going to hold it or are you going to play?
I'll hold it. No, I'll just hold it. My wife's not making eye contact with me.
Because I was going to have her come up and sing with me. Surprise. Would you, Jesus paid it all, 119. Looks like it's an E flat, but I have no idea where I've seen it, so. This is on page 119 in your hymnal. Yeah, that's right. I hear the Savior call. Thy strength indeed is small, child. Sorry, now I lost me. Is that key good for you? We can go to E major. Okay, how about G? How about G? Good old, or C? C's fine. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left its crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Death had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, I'll lay my trophies down, all down at Jesus' feet. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Say the chorus one more time. Together. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
The world will try to say. be just as before. You'll never find true satisfaction until you found the Lord. For only Jesus can satisfy your soul.
We've got probably more kin folks over in heaven than we got still left here, but that just lets me to know that we're going to have a great and wonderful reunion in heaven. And I hope they have an extension cord that I can shout all over the streets of gold out there. This one has limitations. So. How many would confess that you need Jesus every day of your life? And not only every day, amen, but every moment of every day. Jesus, I need you again today. There's just no other way. Remember the words to this song. Sing.
the only one who knows just what to do. Lord, please understand, that's why I'm bothering you. Jesus, I need you again today. There's just no other way.
Appreciate you coming out, amen, to worship the Lord tonight. We just thank God for His goodness, for His mercy, for giving us another day.
Amen.
Man, I never, ever want to take for granted when I wake up in the morning. I want to always understand and know that it is the blessings of God, amen, and by His mercy and by His grace, He has allowed me to have another day on this world. And you know what? I want to go home to heaven when my time comes, but you know, I'm not trying to break in line to get there. Enjoy life. God has been good to us. He's been gracious to us, and we thank Him. But, you know, I'd leave all of this in a heartbeat. And no pun intended, but I would. As soon as that last heart beats, amen, I'm going to lay down every burden, every trial, every circumstance that's ever given me any problem whatsoever, and I'm going to say hello to a brand-new glorified body and a brand-new location. Amen. How many's looking forward to that day when we can be home with the Lord? Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations, just following the book of Jeremiah, the prophets. Man. We want to read verse 1 out of chapter 1 tonight, and we may refer to some other verses as well, but for our lesson text or message text, we want to take it from Lamentations chapter 1 and verse number 1. When you get there, say, praise the Lord. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. In Lamentations chapter 1, verse 1, the writer says, how doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How is she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princess among the provinces, how is she become tributary or in servitude? Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for another day, another opportunity to gather together, Lord, in one mind and one accord. God, we thank you for the praise and worship tonight. We thank you for your anointing and your blessing, God, for this opportunity that you've given us. Father, I pray tonight, God, that you would just speak from heaven. God, give us that word that we need to hear tonight. Father, I pray that you would adorn and touch these lips of clay tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that you would use this vessel, God, for your honor and for your glory. Speak to us tonight. God, let us receive that heavenly manna from heaven, God, tonight, Lord, that it may enrich our spirit, God, and it might produce growth and edification. Help us to be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. You may be seated tonight. Tonight, from the book of Lamentations, which we understand that Jeremiah, the prophet, was the reader of Lamentations. Lamentations itself basically describes the type of writing that Jeremiah, the prophet, was doing. He was lamenting over the demise of Jerusalem. How that once great and mighty province, that great city, that was in fact anointed by the hand of God. And how many knows and believes that God's anointing is still upon Jerusalem and upon Israel? I think that's one thing that the people in all nations need to understand and realize, that God's hand is still upon Israel, even though the people rejected God, rejected Jesus Christ, and did not see him as the Messiah, the Son of God, the propitiation, amen, between man and God, and the one that died on the cross of Calvary as our Lord and Savior. Still, God has a special place for the anointing of Israel. But here is just on the outset of a great misery and destruction of the children of Israel, and also the city of Jerusalem. It had fallen into enemy hands. And it was almost unrecognizable, according to the words and the writings of Jeremiah. And as I was reading this, I thought, Lord, you know, they say that history repeats itself. And in many instances, we do find that to be the case. In Ecclesiastes, it tells us, there is no new thing under the sun, meaning that what has happened before will happen again. And we see a constant falling away of God's children time and time again. And I know we find ourselves referring to this quite often, but I believe that it is a type and shadow of the day and hour that you and I are living in. It seems like that Israel could not handle success. By that, I'm meaning that when things were going good, they didn't rely on the Lord nearly as much as when they were in trouble, or when they were facing persecution, or even when they were facing bondage in Egypt. And even when all of these things in the wilderness came against them, seemingly they would get closer to God through each and every trial. And then upon entering the land of Canaan, the land that flowed with milk and honey, the glorious land, the promise that God had given Abraham years and years before to let them know that when they entered into the kingdom of which is now Israel, the promised land or Canaan land, then they seemingly forgot the blessings of God, the anointing of God, and they began to try to be like other nations. And every time that they would do this, it would cause problems in Israel, and many, many times other enemies would come in and take them captive. This was one of those times. And the writer says, you know, how did this happen? Basically, is the message that I want to convey to us tonight. How did this happen? Probably people that were in experiencing this and people that were living in this time probably would think back to the success of Jerusalem, to the anointing, to the time that God's hand was upon them. And I want to assure us tonight that this did not happen overnight. In fact, I don't even think it happened in a span of maybe months or maybe years. I believe it was an erosion, if you would, an eroding of the people's trust and faith in God. And seemingly slowly and slowly and slowly, they grew farther and farther away from God and His statutes and His precepts.
and his commandments. And it brought this type of misery and destruction to the city of Jerusalem and also to the people that was in Jerusalem. You see, if you read this entire chapter, how miserable the people were. Those that were still alive, those that were still able to be here and not have the freedom and the liberty that they once had. And I see a parallel. I see a very clear parallel or a type and shadow to the world today, and especially the nation that we call home, the wonderful nation of America and the United States. Many people look over the recent situations. They begin to maybe ask a question. How did this happen? How did this happen to once a great and strong and mighty nation? And we still are a great and strong and mighty nation. But I believe there has been some erosion. I believe there has been some transferring of power. And one might wake up and say, you know, how did this happen? How did we become the nation that we are today when seemingly people say that what used to be wrong is now right and what used to be right is now wrong? Well, first, I can clear that up in a heartbeat. If it was wrong then, it's still wrong today. If it was right then, it's still right today. God's word, God's precept, and God's commandments have not changed. But over the years, something has changed, as it did in the land of Israel, as it did in the city of Jerusalem. They began to experience success. They began to experience a city that was full of people, and she was recognized among the nations as being great, and she was in fact referred to as the princess among the provinces. What wonderful accolades and characteristics and compliments of the nation or the city of Jerusalem. Why? Because God's anointing and His blessing was upon them. And we can even bring it down to an individual matter. If we would think, if we understand and know that the people that maybe are around us, the people that we have come in contact with, seemingly when they were the most blessed, when they were the most happiest, when they were most successful, was when they were in fact under the anointing power of God, being led by the Spirit, the Comforter, amen, that is within us to lead us and guide us and direct us through every avenue of our life. But when and if those people grow cold and they grow away from the statutes and the precepts of God and for the doctrine of the Word of God, seemingly then their life is not nearly as successful. There's still not or doesn't seem to be near as much joy and peace and satisfaction in their life as it was when they were serving God. Many mothers have maybe coined the phrase, "How did this happen?" You know, so many times we think that if we just take our children to church when they're young, and the Bible says if we teach them, then when they grow old, they won't depart from it. But folks, it takes a continuation of the teaching. It takes a continuation of the infilling of the Word of God. We can't just kind of spoon feed them a little bit and then hope that they're going to grow up and never turn their back on the Word of God or turn their back on God Himself. And this is what seemingly happened in the city of Jerusalem. All of a sudden, things begin to be worse and begin to slowly get worse and worse and worse. And it didn't, as I said earlier, it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen in a span of a week or two, but they seem to be less dependent on God. And if we see almost a type and shadow, or if we see a pattern forming here, it's what we see that taking place in the world today. We need to be careful when people say, oh, you don't really have to believe that. You don't really think God's word means that. I got to tell you, I may be old-fashioned, but I believe the Word of God means exactly what it says and says exactly what it means. I don't think it needs to be watered down. Certainly don't think it needs to be added to, but I believe it needs to be observed, amen, and obeyed today just as it was when it was written. Amen. The Word of God has stood the test of time. But when people begin to nitpick it, and when people begin to take things from it or add things to it, then we're setting ourselves up for a major catastrophe, a thing that somewhere along the line we may be sitting as Jeremiah the prophet was and saying, how did this happen? This once great and mighty nation, this once nation that was looked on and admired by other nations or the other cities and was called the princess of provinces, is now sitting in basically what he said, in tributary, or that means in servitude. They became servants to the enemy that had overtaken them. Now let's look at that in a spiritual matter if we possibly can. As we begin to veer from the Word of God, as we begin to be less dependent on the Comforter and the Spirit of the Lord that leads us and guides us, then we allow these other things to come into our life. And if we're not careful, they will become the controlling factors of our life. The Holy Ghost that is within us tends to lead us and guide us and direct us, but it also tends to keep us in the straight and narrow. How many is thankful for the conscience of the Holy Ghost? I need that, amen, because I can't depend on my flesh, because my flesh is of this world. My flesh is carnal. So therefore, the flesh tends to sort of lean toward the carnal things. And to keep it under subjection and to keep it straight, in the straight and narrow, we need the guidance of the Holy Ghost. We need the guidance of the Spirit of the Lord. That's the reason it's so important in the New Testament when they talked about being Spirit-led. If the Spirit of God is within us, it needs to lead us and guide us and direct us, but we must be submissive to the Spirit that the Lord has placed in our heart and in our life. Now we know that in Jerusalem in this time, it was before the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ had not come. He had not died on the cross of Calvary. He had not ascended into heaven. He had not sent back the Comforter. But God was still a Comforter even in the time of this Jeremiah when he was writing. I believe that God was a Comforter even in Noah's time, Moses' time, certainly Abraham's time, but not in the form of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit that came back in the form of a Comforter. But God was still able to comfort them. But the thing about it, them not having the Spirit of God within them, just having the Spirit of God around them, made a big, big difference, and they were not as well equipped to obey the commandments of God and the statutes and the precepts. So they started to let them slip. Let me give you a kind of worldly analogy if I possibly could. If in fact we've started in a new occupation, on a new job, and most every place of employment has a list of things, and then they may call it different things, like a mission statement or a list of rules or guidelines or certain expectations. And when we're first there, we're probably given these, and we probably have them rehearsed on a daily basis, either from a supervisor or somebody there, maybe PR or whatever it is, or the personnel office or something, makes us familiar with the job description and the things that is expected out of us so that we can be productive. Amen? But over a period of time, when those are not rehearsed on a daily basis and those are not really instilled like they should be, you know as well as I do, many people, not all, will begin to take advantage of those things and maybe say, well, you know, there's nobody looking. We don't really have to do that. And you know well as I do that certain things begin to slip by the wayside when there's that not all-seeing eye that's overseeing us and making sure that we do what we're supposed to do. That's a worldly analogy, and that's exactly what happened to the children and to the people of Israel there in Jerusalem. They began to get by with certain things. They began to realize that they wanted to be like the world around them. They wanted to have their groves. If you ever read the history of the children of Israel, the paganistic places that were around them, they would have these groves where they would have statues and different things or idols that they would worship. And if God constantly was telling them to have no part of the idolatry, no part of the groves, and many times as the changing of the kings, if you'll notice some of the kings, it starts off, they were pleasing in the sight of God. Why were they pleasing? pleasing? Because they tore down the groves, they tore down the idols, and they turned back to Jehovah God. And then there's other kings that are listed there in 1st and 2nd Kings, the history of Jerusalem and the history of Israel. They were displeasing unto the Lord. They allowed these things to creep in. So as the leaders of the of Israel was, as they were, so was Israel. When they had a strong leader, then Israel was more dedicated to God. When they had a weak or evil leader, then Israel began to sway or stray from the Word of God. This is where we find ourselves here. And this is where Jeremiah is. He's known as the weeping prophet. He's known as the weeping prophet for a certain reason. It's because he was lamenting and crying and weeping over the demise of Jerusalem especially, and of certainly of the people of Israel. And in the 16th verse, we get kind of an idea of how it has affected Jeremiah, the leader, because he's seen these things take place. As we said, over a period of time, he's seen an erosion of the dedication and the commitment to God. Can I just tell us tonight that over a span of several years, we have seen an erosion from the principles and the precepts of God, and from the Word of God, and from morality, and from things that were once considered, amen, an abomination, or openly flaunted in people's faces today. This is not God's will. It's not God's way. It's never been right. He doesn't condone it today just because society does. And that's what we got to understand. Society may accept it, but that doesn't mean God does. Amen. We have to know the Word of God. We have to realize that He's the same. We talked about it the other night, yesterday, today, and forever. Brother Jim said He's unchangeable. Amen. Why did we become changeable to a God that is unchangeable? But we've tried to make it more convenient. We've tried to make it more palatable. We've tried to present the Word of God in a fashion, in a way that people would be receptive to it. Let me tell you something, folks. The convicting power of the Word is what brought me to an altar of repentance. It's what let me know that I did not want to go to that awful place. Amen. I wanted Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life and Savior of my life. So in the 16th verse here, we're going to get an idea, basically, of what Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, is experiencing and what he's writing. And it's interesting if you read the whole book of Lamentations, because you see just how much that he was affected by seeing this backsliding nation that once was so powerful and once was so anointed of God and was once the very, basically the envy of the other provinces around them, suddenly now is nowhere near what they once were. Just a small portion of the power and the prominence that they once held. Verse number 16. Jeremiah says, "For these things I weep. I weep." And I believe if you read into the history and to the personality of Jeremiah, he was not weeping so much because he was thinking that, you know, there's nothing that can be done. He was weeping for the fact that he was dealing with a backslidden nation or a backslidden city or a backsliding people. He was weeping because he had so much compassion for the people of God, for the children of Israel. And he wanted them to again turn from their evil and wicked ways and turn back to God. He said, mine eye runneth down with water. And this is very, very important. Because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. Those last words, the last four words, because the enemy prevailed, are some of the saddest words I believe that I have encountered in the Word of God. Because it almost seems like there's a feeling of hopelessness. Because the enemy has come in. I have nobody to comfort me. I have that spirit that I used to rely on, and it's far from me now. That doesn't mean God leaves us. That just means that I can't feel that comfort that I once felt, because when I look around me, I see all the conditions, amen, that are affecting the nation and affecting the world. And these are the feelings that people have when they say, how did this happen? How did this happen? I've talked to moms and dads who have a son that is incarcerated. And they begin to question their life. They begin to question his upbringing. They begin to question, where did I go wrong? What could I have done more? How did this happen? And again, folks, it doesn't just happen overnight. We have a duty, amen, not only to ourselves, but to our family, to constantly stay in the Word, to constantly rely on the Comforter, which is the Spirit of the Lord, that the Lord Himself has given us, that we don't have to face these problems alone. How many is thankful that we not only have a Comforter, but He is our Counselor too. Amen. He is the one who stands on my behalf. Praise God. I have as an attorney, a spiritual attorney for me, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he is in the form of a comforter for me, because I know that there's times that I'll face in my life that I won't know which way to go and I won't know what to do, and I rely on the comforter. But when we quit relying on the comforter, and when we say I can take matters into my own hand, or when we say, you know what, this way of living is just too strict for me, or when we're children and we say, you know what, I was made to go to church, and when I get on my own, or when I reach the age that of maturity, I'm going to do what I want to do, when I want to do, and how I want to do. Those are the dangerous things that happened that causes a city, that causes a city that was once vibrant, a city that was once the light of the provinces, the princess of the province, to now sit solitary and demise and misery and destruction, wringing their hands saying, how did this happen? It happens when we leave the principles of God. It happens when we think we know more than God, when we think we know how to handle situations, or when we say you don't have to follow the Word of God, or it doesn't really mean that. It does mean what it says. And we're seeing a world today. We're seeing a nation today. We're seeing cities today that, because of lawlessness, because of a disregard for the rules of society, and there are, you know, the Bible, people overlook this sometimes, but the Bible speaks in the New Testament, we are to observe the laws of the land. They shouldn't exceed the laws of God. We need to keep the laws of God, but we're all supposed to be good citizens. We're supposed to obey them that have the rule over us. We're supposed to obey the laws of the land. When we disregard those, when we say that there's nobody that's going to tell me what to do as a nation, as a people, or a family, or whatever, this is what causes that misery and that destruction of lives. And I know we're talking about Jerusalem here as a nation and as a city. But how many knows that we can see that in individuals today? Sitting solitary, who was once anointed of God, who knew what it was to experience the victory, to knew what it was to rely on the Comforter. Well, can I tell you, I don't know. I don't know. In fact, I do. I could not make it without the Comforter. I never want that comforting spirit that the Lord has so graciously given me the opportunity to receive in my life, but not just to receive as to comfort me or pat me on the shoulder and say everything's all right, amen, but to make sure that I stay in the straight and narrow, in the path that the Lord Jesus Christ has laid before us. Because I don't want to wake up and say, how did this happen? How did we get to this point? Folks, it's up to us, amen, it's up to the church to be the believers and begin to preach the Word of God, to live by the Word of God, to say, you know what? God means exactly what He says in the Word of God. And we don't need to stray from it. And also, We don't need to turn our back on the morals and the standards and the things, amen, that has made this nation great. The writers of the Constitution, and though I believe in when you read in history, many of them were God-fearing men and women, amen, that knew that they, as long as they were dependent on God and trust in God, that God would help this nation. No other nation has experienced the success and the growth in the short a period of time as the United States of America. Folks, I don't want to see them follow the same path that Jerusalem did here. And all of a sudden, they are saying, how did this happen? I tell you how it happened. When we turn our back on God. God won't turn His back on us, but we will, in many cases, turn our back on God. And when we do, amen, what we're doing is we're saying, God, I don't need You. I can handle it myself. That's when we get into a big mess. When we begin to be more concerned about our own desires rather than pleasing God, this is the reason and the way it can happen. Verse 8 pretty much sums it up. A lot of people do not want to accept the blame today. So many people say it's not my fault because of this, because of that, because of the environment, because of my raising or whatever. But understand, every one of us personally are responsible for our life and responsible for whether or not we accept Jesus Christ. Amen. Because I believe when that judgment seat, I don't believe God's going to ask and He's going to accept the excuse, well, I was just in a bad environment. Or people around me just, you know, no, it's an individual matter. In fact, I believe that we can rise above that environment with the help of God. I believe that if we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, no matter what around us affects us, that is within us is greater than that, amen, that comes against us. The Bible tells us that He that is within us is stronger and greater than he that is against us. But here in verse 8, how did it happen? Jerusalem hath grievously sinned. Sin is the reason. Sin is what caused the downfall of Jerusalem here. Sin is what tore families apart. Sin is what once made somebody who was walking in the victory and the wonderful presence of God and had that comforter there to help them. And because of sin, they're finding themselves saying, how did this happen? How did this happen? Folks, I believe we're getting to a point where a lot of people are looking around what's happening today and they're saying, how did this happen? But then we pretty much know the answer. A nation that has changed its God is not a nation. Amen. That nation is going to fall. We need to always observe God. On the money that we have, it says, in God we trust. That really has to become a way of life. We have to trust in God. He is our comforter. I couldn't make it without our comforter. And I'm so glad that this comforter that was here later on, Jesus Christ said, I go away, but I won't leave you comfortless. And I will, in fact, send the comforter in my name. And we have that comforting spirit today through the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And I thank God for it. But folks, we got to let the Holy Ghost lead us and guide us. Amen. We got to stay true to the Word of God. We got to stay true to the principles that are here in this book. Amen. And you know, sometimes it's hard. It's a hard pill to swallow. But this was what will cause us to be able to be strong. It'll cause us to be able to be steadfast, unmovable in the Word of God and on that rock. Amen. That's where I stand, on the solid rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. Do you love Jesus tonight? Do you love the Lord? Do you love His Word? I'm finding that I love His Word more and more. As older I get, the more I'm dependent on the Word of God. And I need it. As I said, Jesus, I need You again today. And I'm so glad that He's always there. God bless you. Would you stand tonight? If you have a need, if you have a situation, certainly we would not want to dismiss without giving you an opportunity to come forward. We as a church will pray with you and pray for you. Is there one tonight, amen, that has a need? It would come forward. If you have a special request, just let it be known by the lifting and the raising of your hand. Amen. And we'll be praying for those needs. God knows all about them. Amen. And the Bible says if two would agree, it's touching anything on the earth. He said, my Father in heaven will do it. Amen. Brother Jim has already said and give you the invitation to come Sunday, which will be Mother's Day. And normally we do not have service on Sunday night. Give you an opportunity to spend some time with your mother. I'm looking forward to spending some time with Mother Sunday. So we'll have our regular Sunday morning service, but we will not be having Sunday evening service. I know if you're trying to take Mom out to eat, there's long lines. Seems like everybody wants to take Mom out to eat on Mother's Day, and sometimes you just don't have enough time to get back, and you deserve that time to spend with your mom, especially if you still have your mom with you, because some folks don't have that opportunity to spend their time with mother, but then they have children that want to spend the time with them. So bear with us, and we will not have Sunday evening service. Amen. Well, God bless you. We love you. Appreciate each and every one of you. Brother Jim, if you'd come forward tonight, dismiss us with a word of prayer. Do remember those that are standing in need of prayer, the request that went out earlier. Also, the text messages that come forward. We're praying for those people as well, that God would touch and heal them in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
I don't believe we can praise Him enough. Just lift Him up, honor Him. So good to have y'all with us tonight or this evening. And also those of you watching online, we surely do miss the ones that normally we're looking forward to great things. And if you're just looking in now, know that if you have a prayer request also, just type it in the comments there, and we will be praying with you. Praise God. All hearts and minds clear? All righty. Well, also to go along with Mother's Day, Sunday morning, and all the excitement, and I hope everybody will be able to come. But you're also invited to Sunday school, too. We'd love to have you in our Sunday school class. And we're just going to now go ahead and just dismiss with this prayer. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for allowing us just to gather together in your name, dear Lord, as we've come together to hear your word. Dear Lord, your word is powerful. Your word is everlasting. And, dear Lord, we just give you all the honor and glory. Dear Lord, again, thank you for this message. Dear Lord, not only for here in the congregation with the teens and with the young people downstairs, dear Lord, but we just want to honor and just give you all the glory. Lord, again, now for those prayer requests that have been brought forth, Lord, we do. We place them in your hand by faith. Those that are waiting on procedures, those are in quarantine, getting ready for surgery. Lord, those that had a surgery recently and they're going through therapy, Lord, we're just giving you all the glory and placing their needs into your hands. And Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Praise God, praise God.